Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, to the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior. Again, once again, the Creator has blessed us to come before you another week, another day, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street. And who is this Yah that I speak of? Once again, Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. And Yah is our King, our Judge, our Lawgiver, and our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing me to come before you once again on another beautiful, glorious, sanctified, and exalted day that He has made. Today we will discuss the desires of the heart. And this week we will be discussing many things similar to that. We'll be discussing not just our desires, our peace, our happiness. We'll be discussing even our love. And this is what I found about all these things, is that, and I'll read it for you. It's located in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. And this is what the Creator lets us know. In the book of Proverbs 3, and it says this in the 5th verse. Trust in Yah with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And here the Creator is letting us know that no matter what we do, no matter what is going on in our life, and no matter what desires we may have, trust in Yah with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He's going to direct us, direct our path. And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. And yes, we as a people are an evil people. So it's very important that we learn to trust the Creator with all our heart. And I know many of our people don't know how to trust the Most High, but we're going to teach you. One of the things that we're going to discuss tonight is the desires of the heart. You have them, I have them, all of us have these various desires. Are these desires good or bad? Are these desires something that we can control, have rulership over, and manage? Are these desires, are they just some emotions that we can just let them fly as they come, hit whoever it hit, fall wherever it falls? So we're going to talk about these desires. The very first scripture where I even seen this word being used is in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, if we turn there. Dealing with the desires of the heart. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter, this is what it says. In the very first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yah Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have Elohim said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim have said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So we can see this tree undoubtedly was not hidden amongst other trees. It was not in the cut, hidden away, stored away, where one can accidentally get their hands on it and eat from it. According to the scriptures, this tree was smack dab in the middle of the garden. And the woman knew exactly what was going on with this tree, because she said not only she was not to eat of it, she wasn't even supposed to touch it. At least she died. Now, the Creator never said, if you touch this tree, you would die. He never said that. As a matter of fact, the Most High never told Eve anything about this tree. But he did tell her husband. Now, he may have told her and had it and went further to let her know, no, we can't eat of it. As a matter of fact, don't even touch it. Like you would tell your children, look at, no, don't even go in there and don't even look at it. So this is what was going on. Let's continue reading. Again, the serpent said in the fourth verse, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Elohim do know in the day that ye eat thereof, because it was all about eating, not touching, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as Elohim's, knowing good and evil. And what the serpent did, he did exactly what these other books do to our people who indulge in them without having a foundation of the truth, such as the New Testament. Sure, in the New Testament, somebody can show you where we must keep the law, and they keep the law. Sure, in the New Testament, they can show you where you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day, and they keep the Sabbath day. Sure, in the New Testament, they can show you all through it where it talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, and that we are Israel, and that Israel is black, a black nation. They don't want you to see, and what they don't want you to know in the New Testament, it also will tell you many, many more lies after telling you to keep the law, then they have people in the New Testament, such as Paul, to tell you not to keep the law. And the law made nothing perfect. In the New Testament, it tells you Sabbath wasn't, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So you do what you want on the Sabbath. This is the teachings of the New Testament. And even though it talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, it will make you believe there's no difference between an Israelite and a Gentile, which we know is a lie. Yes, the serpent told her the truth, that in the day she eat there, her eyes shall be open. That is true. And she will be as Elohim's, and that was true. Knowing good and evil. All that was true. But he lied when he said, ye shall not surely die. And then further it says in the sixth verse, after considering what her husband had told her, after considering what the serpent had told her, now what she's about to consider is her own, the desires of her own heart. She considered everything else. Now it is up to her to make a decision. And look at the decisions that she made. Sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She's considered all these things. She considered what her husband said. She considered what the serpent said. Now it's all about her own heart. She took of the fruit thereof. In other words, now she done made a decision. And did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And exactly what they thought would happen did happen. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So here we see the first time we even see the word desire. And here the woman desired eat from this tree, because she saw that it was good for food. And who can fault her for that? It don't seem like no just evil intended desire. It looked good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It must have undoubtedly been a very pretty tree. But in addition to that, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And who don't want wisdom? That's what everybody should want, is wisdom. But little did she know, and little do you know, that your desires should never, ever supersede the desires of Yahweh. And look what Yahweh said concerning this tree. That's why the scriptures say, trust in Yah with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. This is what we're supposed to be doing. But just so you can see, Yahweh desires. In the second chapter, Genesis 2, the 8th verse, and this is what it says. Just read two things in this. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. So it was already pleasant to the sight because that's how Yahweh made it. And good for food. And he made it good for food as she seen. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and it was there as well. So she had two trees she could have chose from. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And why did she choose the wrong one? 10th verse, we're jumping right over to it. And Yah Elohim took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now you notice he said this to the man. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You're going to die. Told the man this. We know the woman was not present, for the woman wasn't even made yet. Because watch the 18th verse. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So she was not even made. But yet, she knew the knowledge, had the knowledge, or more importantly, the instructions and the commandment of Yahweh that you're not to eat from the tree that is in the midst of the garden. And she knew which one that was, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she ate from it. And not only she ate from it, she gave also to her husband to eat from it as well. All because of her desires. And yes, she was tricked and beguiled. But by what? Was she tricked and beguiled by the serpent? Or was she tricked and beguiled by her own lustful heart? She, the one that desired to be wise, and to be wise, you don't do what is opposite of what Yahweh said. As a result of her doing this, this is what the Creator said to the woman. And you'll read this in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. Or the 16th verse. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In other words, not only she's going to have sorrow in doing something, that one of the most beautiful things you can do, and that is to conceive, but she's going to have sorrow because he multiplied the sorrow. Whereas at one time, prior to this happening, no telling how long it would have took her to bear children. But Yahweh multiplied this thing. And you know Yahweh multiplied it because once a woman conceived, 9 months later, here comes a child. And yes, I know people can have them early. This is abnormal. So typically it happens in 9 months. And if you've been listening to our program, you'll know what nine represent. I know y'all ain't been taught that in the past, and by some of the learned and wise men that have taught you. But you are learning it here. Furthermore, not only multiplying our sorrow and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. In other words, a very painful delivery, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain, a lot of crying, heart racing. That's how children are being had. And you only will get that from the Most High. And the only other time you get something different is when you allow the doctors to drug you up so you won't feel nothing. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. A lot of women think that's a curse. This is a curse that the Creator put on us. This is nothing good at all. He punished us and cursed us that our desire shall be to our husband, and he shall rule over thee. And let me tell you the truth. No, this was not a curse at all. If you want to know what a curse is, Yahweh never said this about the woman, what he said about the serpent. And watch what he said about the serpent in the 14th verse. And Yah Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. He never said that about the woman. Neither did he say that about Adam. Although he did punish him. And going back to the woman, in terms of her desire being to her husband, and he shall rule over thee. And what was the Creator doing? Well, what the Creator was doing is making sure that someone will be accountable for the actions coming out of one household. Here we see there was no accountability. Everyone thought to blame someone else. And the Creator is not going to have that. He wants everyone to be accountable for that one house. And he chose who will be accountable. And who did he choose? Well, he chose the very one that he told in the beginning. He never even told Eve to do anything. He told Adam. Adam participated and was a partner in this crime. Even though she didn't get it firsthand, she still knew the instructions because she told them to the serpent. Now, as a result of that, a woman's desire has to be to her husband. And what exactly do that mean? Well, you know what a desire is before this crime. She just desired to be wise. She desired the tree because it was pleasant to the eyes. She desired it because it was good for food. In other words, you can desire things for a lot of reasons. And you can have many desires. But your desire now is not to desire anything that will allow those desires to supersede the authority and the rulership of your husband. Now, what the woman have to do is check before she go fulfilling her desires. And she got many. So before you go to fulfill something, just because you desire, and that desire might be good. But now, check mark, a checkpoint that you have to check with. And most women, the vast majority of the married women, do not want to do that. And I may add, many of the single women don't want to do it either. And why? It couldn't be because of the man, as many of them say, because this is not the commandment of a man. This is a commandment of the Most High. Man never said, your desires must be to me, and I'm going to rule over you. This is not a law or a commandment of man. This is from Yahweh himself. And what he's telling the woman, now your desire is to check with your husband. Your desire is to check with him before you fulfill whatever desire you might have. Well, I want to go to school. Check with your husband. Well, I want to go shopping and buy this, that, and check with your husband. Well, I want to do this. I want to do this. Well, check with your husband. Because there's a slim chance and there's a possibility that he might not want you to. And you might, why we got to do that? Because when you had the opportunity to do this, because you knew that your foremother, the mother of all living, all she had to do is fulfill Yahweh's desires. And this is what this is all about. But instead, she didn't respect the desires of the Most High. And as a result, Yahweh said, now, your desires is to be to your husband. And I may add, Adam didn't respect it either because he ate also when he had got the instructions directly. Now, it is true. He didn't go to the tree and pluck and take it of his own free will. Still guilty. And he was still partly to blame. And Yahweh made us from the beginning to fulfill his desires. His desire is his words. And not just man or a woman fulfilling her husband or her desires to be to her husband, but also his desire to be to the Most High. Watch what the Creator has to say about this desire in Genesis, the fourth chapter. In the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, look what the Creator has to say. And we're going to start reading at the very first verse. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from Yahweh. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And we should understand this type of attitude, because oftentimes we had children, our children, and they were older and became adults at this time. But sometimes you had to let one know that, okay, I accept you. You're doing good. That was very good work that you did. But then a brother or sister, we had to tell them, look, that wasn't good. You can do better. Next time, bring your A game. And the scripture says, be not weary with the correction of Yahweh, for Yah correct those who he loves. But Cain was weary with this correction. And oftentimes our people are weary with the correction that comes to them. If somebody correct you, whether you agree or not, just, all right, that's how you feel, okay. But you don't have to get into no certain spat with them. They might be telling the truth, but they might not be. It might be from Yahweh, but it might not be from Yahweh. But you just consider it, nevertheless. And our people don't want to consider things. They want to fuss, fight about the things that come to them. And Yahweh 6th verse said unto Cain, why are thou wroth? Why are you mad? And why is thy countenance fallen? 7th verse. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And that's what this is all about. If you do good, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Don't be mad about it. I'm just correcting you, trying to make you better, trying to get you to do well, trying to raise the bar for you. And if thou doest not well, in other words, if you don't do well and your countenance keep falling and you keep getting mad and you want to argue and you want to fight and you want to debate and you want to think, no, it's not. Sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. Who desire? And thou shall rule over him. In other words, what the Creator was letting Cain know is that if you do well, ultimately, eventually, I'm going to accept you. Right now, I don't accept this thing you're bringing to me. But you keep working hard, you keep doing good, You keep trying, it's going to be well. It's going to be good. It's going to be accepted. But if you don't do well, and you have some another type of mind, think you deserve to be accepted, you deserve the desires of your heart, you deserve this, that, and the other. Well, let me tell you, seeing light after door. And unto thee, and who is thee? Well, let me tell you who thee is. Thee is Satan. Thee is a spirit that you don't even see. Thee is the one that will keep in your mind to forsake the Most High. Not your husband. Not your children. Not your brothers and your sisters. But unto thee shall be his desire. And what is that saying? That's saying anytime Satan have a desire, this spirit have a desire, he's coming to you. The one that's already always getting mad, the one that can't control their spirit, the one whose countenance is always falling, the one that's always emotional and can't control it. Soon as he has a desire, I know who to do this with. I know who to make this go down with. Because they always mad. They always jealous. They always, their countenance always falling. They always want to get even. They always want to fight. They always want to cuss. They always want to drink and smoke and do all the other things that would take, and they love all kind of women. So now my desire is to do such and such and such. And thou shall rule over him. In other words, when he has a desire for you, he's coming to you for those desires. And Satan's desires is no good. No good at all. But you still got rulership over it. You still can control whether you do it or not. You still have the authority. But it becomes very difficult because that's what your spirit telling you. And you have not learned how to differentiate the spirits that will have you to do undesirable things. So you have to learn desires of the heart. So right now, as of today, let me just show you this, what happened as a result of one not doing well. And watch what happens in the 8th verse. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why? Because he was jealous. Why? Because he was envy-hearted. Why? Because there was no good in him. Why? because he had no intentions of doing well. And then it further says in the 9th verse, and Yahweh said unto Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? In other words, do I supposed to watch out for him and look for him and protect him? Not as Elohim. I don't know where he is. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. See, he didn't know that blood can cry. But Yahweh did. And watch what he said about Cain that he did not say about Eve. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tellest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her thee her strength. A fugitive. And what's a fugitive? Somebody always running from the law. Here it is. We got people that you love and revere and trying to save, but these people are fugitives. They don't want to hear the law. They running from the law. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And watch what it says. And Cain said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From the face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And was a vagabond. A vagabond to make his home anywhere and everywhere. Because everywhere this fugitive go, he's starting all kind of mess and trouble. Everywhere. Because he has no respect for the law. Even though they'll tell you that they are a nation or a people of laws, They not at all. They don't even keep their own law. And we're going to get further into that, dealing with this. But nevertheless, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whoso slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain. Any finding him should kill him. And there was only one mark that Yahweh put on this man that still exists today, because Yahweh allowed this same mark to be passed down to other generations. And the mark is the mark of leprosy. It is the only mark in the whole entire scriptures will ban you from the Most High. There's only two ways you can be banned from the Most High. One, if he kill you, judge you in killing you. And two, put a mark on you. And we're going to deal with that. Not tonight, but we're going to deal with those facts. But here, many of our people today are not even fulfilling their own desires. They have given their desire unto Satan. So now every time they have a desire, or Satan have a desire, he use you. And I'm going to show you this. It says, unto thee shall be
his desire. In other words, now your desires is taken away, and now his desires has superseded yours. So when you find that man or that husband, and he's telling you such and such, but yet your heart, your mind is telling you the very thing that told Eve. Regardless of what this man is saying, I'm going to fulfill my desire. In other words, still to this day, the lesson that should have been learned from our first mother, and we don't learn lessons just by our successes. We also supposed to learn lessons as a result of our failures. And when she failed, still to this day, we have many that refuse to take heed to the lesson that was left on record. And that is, don't worry, don't concern yourself with your desires. Your desire should be to your husband. And you may ask yourself, well, what if you don't have a husband? Then your desires still should be to your husband, because Yahweh is your husband. Either way it goes, your desire should be to your husband. Either way it goes. And you can't escape it. And not only that, show you something else. Because oftentimes we're not careful in desiring things. We desire something, then let it come right out of our mouth. That's why you want to not only be careful in what you desire, but you definitely want to be careful in what come out of your mouth. And let me show you what I mean. You'll find this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And I ask yourself this, as you meditate, as you consider the words that I'm teaching you, what husband want a wife that will not listen to him, that refuse to follow his instructions, and that would allow their desires to trump and supersede that of the desires of their husband? And when that is done, ask yourself this. Is this thing Satan? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. Some people, you just a playground for Satan, because he already know all the desires that he have. He can just run rampant with you. Look what the scripture says, Deuteronomy 18, the 15th verse. And our people still don't understand this to this day. Deuteronomy 18 and 15, Yah thy Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Here it is, the Creator letting us know that the prophets of Yahweh will come from our midst. And not just from our midst, from our brethren, our people, our own families. And also, like unto Moses. It didn't say it was going to be exactly like Moses, but like unto him. In other words, they will be a prophet, just like Moses. Moses was a prophet. He was a certain type of prophet. He was chosen to do certain types of things that you might never do. But nevertheless, you still will be a prophet, because our people tell you there's no prophets today. And they think all the prophets was the same. And they think the only prophets that you there is, they all are dead, and they were all written in the book. Which lets you know they don't know the book. You have some people going around, there's nothing new under the sun. And that's what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. But scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. If you understood what Ecclesiastes was saying, then you would know when the scriptures say, if a man take a new wife, thou should not charge him with any business. Stay home for a whole year. Well, I thought it wasn't new, nothing new under the sun. Here it is. Many of the people saying there's nothing new under the sun. Every month they talking about there go the new moon. Well, I thought it wasn't new, nothing new under the sun. Here it is. The Creator said, I will make a new heavens and a new earth. But I thought it was nothing new under the sun. Yahweh clearly said in the book of Jeremiah 31 and 31, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda. So maybe the people who read this, maybe they just don't have understanding. But let us read this. 16th verse. According to all that thou desires of Yahweh thy Elohim in Horeb, in the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yah my Elohim, neither let it me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like he said the first time. Like unto thee, like he said the first time. Put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. In other words, it was the people who desired. It was the nation of Israel that desires. It was the leaders and the people that desire not to hear Yahweh's voice. And today, our people, when they don't hear Yahweh's voice, they get mad. They get upset. And as a result of not hearing Yahweh's voice, they said, I'm not going to listen to nobody. I'm not going to listen to no man. Now ask yourself and consider this. If that's your attitude, could that desire that you have, that you're not going to listen to no man, is that Satan's desire? That he know he can perpetrate through you? Because his desires unto thee shall be his desires. So that's why you saying what you're saying. Matter of fact, that's why you're doing what you're doing. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever or whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This Yahweh got this thing going. You desired it, and Yahweh gave you the desires of your heart. And now your descendants, now the descendants of our foreparents, think they're clever, think they're smart, think they're wise. It's no prophets today. All right, if you say so. So-and-so didn't teach that. Well, if you say so. I'm not listening to no man. Well, that's your choice. It's your choice. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that which speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And we got many of them. Matter of fact, you ask them about a false prophet, they know all of them. And they can readily tell you who's not speaking in the name of the Most High or speaking in the name of other deities. But then when you ask them, well, who is speaking in the name of the Most High? Then all of a sudden the room get real quiet. And when you ask the real prophets of Yahweh to stand up, then you don't see nobody standing up. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh hath not spoken? How are we going to know that? When a prophet speaking in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. In other words, all one have to do to determine whether this thing have come to pass, all they have to do is search the Creator's word. That's it. And then you would determine, well, Yahweh never even said that. Yahweh never said what you teaching. I know it's not coming to pass because Yahweh never even said it. And since this was your desire, and Yahweh said you spoke well on this desire, this is how it must be. You have to wait. You have to look. You have to seek. You have to search for one that Yahweh himself will raise up among our brethren. That's what you have to do. And the one that he raised up, as long as he's speaking the word that he was commanded to speak, Yahweh going to require this thing that he says. It's just that simple. That's why you must be careful in what you desire. Because a lot of times you might desire something, and these desires are not good. Like, for example, in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, turn there. in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. And watch what this says. And this is what it says. And he dealt wisely. Speaking of Rehoboam. And dispersed of all his children throughout all the countries of Judah and Benjamin unto every fenced city, and gave them victual in abundance. But watch what it says. And he desired many wives. And Yahweh had already told us, desire many wives. And particularly the king. If the king don't know nothing else, this is what Yahweh said concerning the king. In the book of Deuteronomy 17, there's certain things you can get mixed up. But this thing here, how can you mix this up? Watch what it says. In Deuteronomy 17 and 14, when thou art come into the land which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose, one from among thy brethren. Not just the prophets, but the kings had to be from among our brethren. Thou shalt set him king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brethren. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, which means bondage. It's not talking about the Egypt they left from. It's talking about the bondage, to the end that he shall multiply horses, for as much as Yahweh has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. In other words, Yahweh, we don't have the type of bondage that other people have. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Why, Yahweh? Why don't we multiply wives to ourselves? And this is the number one thing a man got to know about a woman, because it's all through the scriptures. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So he don't multiply gold, he don't multiply silver, he don't multiply horses, and he don't multiply wives. Because all these things would take his heart away. That's why it is very important to control what you desire. If you desire it, that don't mean it's right. A woman, check with your husband. A man, check with the Most High. Did not we say, trust in Yah with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths? Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. This is what you got to do. And watch what this says in the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Something about your desires. And this is what it says. And I love this scripture here. The 24th verse. The fear of the wicked shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. See, Yahweh loved the righteous so much that Yahweh said the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And not only the desire of the righteous shall be granted, watch what it says here. And I think it's going to be in the very next chapter. And let me make sure. I want you to see this. The 23rd verse. Proverbs 11 and 23, and watch what this says. The desire, and we're talking about desires of the heart, of the righteous is only good. So this eliminates a lot of people who are scorners. This eliminates a lot of people who love to do foolishness. This eliminates a lot of people who sow discord. This eliminates a lot of people who discover secrets. This eliminates a lot of people who all they want to do is fuss, fight, and cuss with their own people. Because the desire of the righteous is only good. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath, anger, mad, countenance fallen, never satisfied. And this is important because in the book of Psalm 38, just a couple more scriptures, Psalm 38, watch what it says. The 9th verse. Yah, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. In other words, everything you desire is before the Most High. The wicked, sinful, abominable desires you have, as well as the good, righteous, and peaceful desires that you have. And the scripture says, the desire of the righteous is only good. And what greater desire? What is your greatest desire? Let me show you the greatest desire you can have. And it's the very thing that no one desires. If you desire it, you will get it. And watch what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter. It says, for wisdom is better than rubies. And our people will rather have rubies, rather have a good job, rather win some money. The 11th verse. Read it again. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all. And what is all? Things that may be desired. And I mean, you can desire a lot of stuff. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Yes. Wisdom. And who among you have wisdom? And may wisdom their home. Watch what it says. Last scripture. Psalm 37. Because we're talking about the desires of the heart. And this is what it says. starting at the very first verse. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And who want the desires of their heart? Make no mistake about it. If your desires are bad, Yahweh will give you up to your own lustful heart. He will do that. So you can see how bad this thing is. But Yahweh also, if you delight in him, and Yahweh knows when a person delights in him, how do we know it? Because your desires will be to your husband. That's how you know. Yahweh know your desires to him, because you're not going to fuss with him. You're not going to fight with him. You're not going to debate with him, because Yahweh is our king. Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. And Yahweh is our only Savior. So you don't have to fret because of evildoers in the way. The desires of the heart. Remember, trust in Yahweh with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. Till tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, or who believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.